श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 4 सती क्विट्स हर बॉडी टेक्स्ट 9 अरुद्रभागं तमवेक्ष्य चाध्वरम् पित्रा च देवे कृतहेलनं विभौ अनादृता यज्ञसदस्य अनादृता यज्ञसदस्यधीश्वरी चुकोपलोकानिवधक्षतीरुषा अरुद्रभागं तमवेक्ष्य चाध्वरम् पित्रा च देवे कृतहेलनं विभौ अनादृता यज्ञसदस्यधीश्वरी चुकोपलोकानिवधक्षतीरुषा अरुद्रभागं तमवेक्ष्य चाध्वरम् पित्रा च देवे कृतहेलनं विभौ अनादृता यज्ञसदस्यधीश्वरी चुकोपलोकानिवधक्षतीरुषा
आरुद्रभागं तमवेक्ष्य चाध्वरम् पित्रा च देवे कृतहेलनं विभौ अनादृता यज्ञसदस्यधीश्वरी अरुद्रभागं तमवेक्ष्य चाध्वरम् पित्रा च देवे कृतहेलनं विभौ अनादृता यज्ञसदस्यधीश्वरी चुकोपलोकानिवधक्षतीरुषा अरुद्रभागं तमवेक्ष्य चाध्वरम् पित्रा च देवे कृतहेलनं विभौ अनादृता यज्ञसदस्यधीश्वरी चुकोपलोकानिवधक्षतीरुषा अरुद्रभागं तमवेक्ष्य चाध्वरम् पित्रा च देवे कृतहेलनं विभौ अनादृता यज्ञसदस्यधीश्वरी
आरुद्रभागं
तमवेक्ष्य चाध्वरम्
पित्रा च देवे कृतहेलनं विभौ
अनादृता
यज्ञसदस्यधीश्वरी
चुकोपलोकानिवधक्षतीरुषा
अरुद्रभागं तमवेक्ष्य चाद्वरम्
अरुद्रभागं तमवेक्ष्य चाद्वरम्
पित्रा च देवे कृतहेलनं विभौ
पित्रा च देवे कृतहेलनं विभौ
अनादृता यज्ञ सदस्यधीश्वरी
अनादृता यज्ञ सदस्यधीश्वरी
शुकोपलोका निवधक्ष्यतीरुषा
शुकोपलोका निवधक्ष्यतीरुषा
अरुद्रभागं तमवेक्ष्य चाद्वरम्
अरुद्रभागं तमवेक्ष्य चाद्वरम्
पित्रा च देवे कृतहेलनं विभौ
पित्रा च देवे कृतहेलनं विभौ
अनादृत यज्ञ सदस्य
रुद्रभागं
तमवेक्ष्य चाद्वरम्
अरुद्रभागं तमवेक्ष्य चाद्वरम् पित्रा च देवे कृतहेलनं विभो अनादृता यज्ञ सदस्यधीश्वरी
अरुद्र भागम हैविंग नो ऑब्लेशंस फॉर लॉर्ड शिवा तम दैट अवेक्षा सीइंग च एंड अध्वरम प्लेस ऑफ सैक्रिफाइस पित्रा बाय हर फादर च एंड देवे टू लॉर्ड शिवा कृत हेलनम contempt having been shown vidhau to the Lord anadrita not being received yagya sadasi in the assembly of the sacrifice adhishvari sati chukopa became greatly angry. Lokan, the 14 worlds. Iva, as if. Dakshati, burning. Rusha, with anger. Translation. Present in the arena of sacrifice, Sati saw that there were no oblations for her husband, Lord Shiva. Next, she realized that not only had her father failed to invite Lord Shiva, but when he saw Lord Shiva's exalted wife, Daksha did not receive her either. Thus she became greatly angry, so much so that she looked at her father as if she were going to burn him with her eyes. Purport. By offering oblations in the fire while chanting the Vedic mantra Swaha, one offers respect to all the demigods, great sages and pitas, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. It is customary that Shiva is one of those who are offered respects, but Sati, while personally present in the arena, saw that the Brahmanas did not utter the mantra offering oblations to Lord Shiva. Namah Shivaya Swaha. She was not sorry for herself, for she was ready to come to her father's house without being invited. But she wanted to see whether or not her husband was being respected. To see her relatives, her sisters and mother was not so important. Even when she was received by her mother and sisters, she did not care, for she was most concerned that her husband was being insulted in the sacrifice. When she marked the insult, she became greatly angry, and she looked at her father so angrily that Daksha appeared to burn in her vision. Some attempt is made here, of course it's Vyasadeva, to make a metaphor or an analogy for the anger of Sati. It's extreme anger. There's a famous line from Shakespeare. I'm not sure whether Srila Prabhupada quoted this one or not. He quoted quite a few lines of Shakespeare. Hell hath no fury like that of a woman scorned. I don't know if you can follow that. That the tortures, the intense pain of hell is not comparable to that, the anger of a woman who's scorned, which generally means she's rejected in her romantic overtures. She becomes so angry. Probably this will have to be edited out of Shakespeare, if anyone reads Shakespeare anymore, because you're not allowed to make statements like that anymore. But it's not, it would be called a misogynistic statement, which is considered morally wrong in the insane ethos of the Western world today. But it's just an analysis of human nature, that's all, specifically female nature in this case. Anger is very dangerous. What can you not do in anger? Anger, kina, keba, what is Narottam, Prem Bhakti Chandrika, Krode Kiba, Krode Ba Na Kore Kiba. What can you not do when you're angry? You just forget everything. All sense, all self-control, all rationality is gone. So it's very dangerous. However, we see in the case of Sati that she was angry, but she hadn't lost her sense of discrimination, because she could have destroyed herself, her father, and all the arena of sacrifice. She has enough. She can Shrishti Stithi Pralaya Sadhana Shaktireka Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Bibharti Durga. She's that same person who oversees the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world. You may say, what happened to Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh? Well, she's also involved. She is the material energy. So she could do, but she is keeping her anger under control, and she will burn her own body that she doesn't want to maintain because of the tremendous insult to Lord Shiva, who she totally identifies with. It's not an insult to her personally or directly, but she takes an insult to her husband to be practically worse than to herself. The saying is still there in India, although it's not followed much, Pati Parameshvara. The husband is God. This is repugnant to non-followers of Vedic culture. It was noted, even by the British when they first came, how chaste women are to their husbands. And it was always a matter of great pride in Indian culture that the women are of good character, generally speaking. Of course, there are harlots also, many of whom traditionally were Vaishnavis. Chintamani wasn't the first. Chintamani of Bilva Mangala. At least in Bengal, they used to be. It was well known that the prostitutes of Calcutta all had Vaishnav gurus. In Kali Yuga, the demoniac forces gain impetus. A very prominent influence in society today is that of feminism, with the script that women have been exploited by men since time immemorial, and now it's time to make things right. And they point to various things, such as previously women not having the vote. Although I read something where it said that women, they didn't care about not having the vote in America, because they exercise power vicariously through their husbands. But when black men got the vote, then the white women became upset. How can black men have a vote and we not? Then they started campaigning for a vote. Otherwise, they didn't care. Of course, we're talking here on the material platform, but it's a social platform. Srila Prabhupada also didn't like feminism. That in their feministic propaganda, the women don't show photos of the huge graveyards in Belgium of the tens of thousands of men who died, especially in World War I there. It was the men who were going out to fight. How long is it now? More than 2 years? More than 1 year for sure, when Russia started a special military operation in Ukraine, and the women were allowed to leave Ukraine, not the men. We didn't hear any protests from the feminists at that time, that why are the women being allowed to escape and why are they not being sent to war? At that time, they were quite satisfied with the disparity between men and women. So it is a false position. Srila Prabhupada, once it was put to him that marriage for a woman means to be exploited by a man, and Prabhupada said, yeah, it's better to be exploited by one man than by so many other men. There's always, this is the great myth of egalitarianism, mundane egalitarianism. We have spiritual egalitarianism, as we find in Lord Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmane Gavihastini, Shuni Chaivashvapakecha, Pandita Samadarshanaha. This principle of seeing equally is a repeated theme in Bhagavad Gita. In this verse, this well-known verse, Krishna says that a brahmana, and not just a brahmana by caste, but one who's actually a brahmana by having acquired knowledge and the quality of humility. So he's a real brahmana. He's really high in the terms of character in human society. Vidya Vinaya Sampane, brahmane. A cow, a female elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. Someone who's actually, this is Krishna's definition of a pandit, one who is learned. He sees them all equally. That's from the spiritual platform. But on the material platform, there is a difference. Krishna never recommended that the dog cooker, the dog eater, take the position of a brahmana. Rather, he says twice in Gita, Shraya Swadharma Vigorna paradharma bhayavahat. One should follow one's prescribed duties within the varnashram system. It's very dangerous to adopt someone else's. This is just, it should be common sense, simple thing to understand. When the Europeans first came to India, no one protested about the caste system. That, of course, they came mostly for trade, so they weren't particularly interested in the politics or social reorganization. But in their own country, there were high class people, there were the aristocrats by birth, landed gentry. There were the trading class, and there were artisans and just general laborers. So there was a division also in European society, and it was taken for granted. Some people are born into an aristocratic family and they have privilege from birth. It's just taken for granted that they took it for granted that, okay, in India the social stratification system is different to ours in Europe, but they have it. They just expected that there's going to be some privileged caste or privileged group of people by birth and others who are not. And it continues despite the idea that everyone is equal. At Oxford University, whatever it is, its traditions have been spoiled by government policies, British government policies, of course. One of the things they want to bring in by force, it's something like reservation system, working class pupils, because Oxford University has always been the preserve of the upper classes or the upper middle classes, not the working classes. But one observer of the educational system who said that the educational policies in Britain since the Thatcher, instituted by the Thatcher government, has been an unmitigated catastrophe. He said that the working class, they don't even want to send people to Oxford University. It's just like the Shudras in India, they don't want to become, they want to become Brahmanas. You have to take bath so many times and you have to follow all these rules, no meat, no intoxication. They don't want to be like that. They want to have the freedom to do what they like. So in the same way, the working class, they have their own kind of pride in being working class, and they don't, it's a generalization, which this observer pointed out, that they don't like it if someone goes out from their situation. Like, if you're born in a miner's family, you're supposed to grow up as rough and tough like a miner. You're not supposed to become a college professor. It's like a rejection of our background. So this communist idea, Srila Prabhupada was very much against communism. He said people are already animals, but this communism is making them bigger animals. And we have neo-Marxism in the form of affirmative action in governments going on in India with the reservation system, similar to what I just said about Oxford, which is very detrimental for the whole future of the country, promoting people to a level they're not fit for just because they're not fit for it. Not a merit system, but a system based on birth. It perpetuates the caste system. or it perpetuates the faults of the caste system. So that people, they want to be classified as an SC or ST or OBC or something like this. This scheduled caste, scheduled tribe, other backward caste, and now Muslim also. That's also supposed to be a back. Why are Muslims backward? Because they don't. They send their kids mostly. Why are they backward in terms of educational advancement? One reason they prefer to send their sons to the madrasa, and they don't get the kind of education in the madrasa that you get if you're going to end up as an IT professional. They channel their children in that way, and then they complain about being left out. There are so many discrepancies. Once you get a wrong idea, everything becomes wrong, one after another, one after another, one after another. Why am I discussing this at all? We're supposed to be discussing spiritual topics. Well, the Daksha Yajna in and of itself, it's not directly a spiritual topic. It shows what goes wrong when you don't follow the basic rules of the universe, of dharma, the things that can go wrong. And the Krishna consciousness movement is operating within the material sphere. And we are influenced by the social currents all around us. Just, 3 days ago, in meetings about the future direction of our rural projects, I heard, well, first I'll say that I generally hear in the West that it's easier for Indian devotees to take this up because it's their culture. And now I heard from an Indian devotee, well, it's easier for Western devotees to take this up because they're more into alternative living. Srila Prabhupada said he wanted cultural conquest. One major reason why preaching in India is much more fruitful in terms of people coming forward and becoming devotees and buying books and so many things is because the culture is still there of Krishna consciousness, more in some parts of India than others. This particular area is a very Vaishnav-influenced area, the area we're in right now. So we should be alert that we keep out the bad cultural influences from our society. One reason we're starting, or probably you say the reason we're starting these projects, is to make oases in the midst of the demoniac culture. Well, I just said that India is much better culturally than the West, but it's largely influenced by demoniac influences, beginning with democracy, which was accepted unquestioningly at the time of India's political independence, the idea of democracy, which is a demon crazy. It's a wrong idea from the very start that everyone is equal to in the matter of voting. But, as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, and it should be common sense, that some learned scholar has one vote and some illiterate rickshaw puller has a vote. That's ridiculous. And then the rickshaw, the more obviously stupid people, not saying that the learned scholars are not stupid, but they're stupid in an educated way, generally speaking, they can be easily manipulated. As Srila Prabhupada writes, the mass of people, what is it in that Tadvag Visarga? The mass of people are like tools in the hands of the leaders. They can be manipulated. So that's going on. There's a generational approach to changing society has been adopted for the last 100 years or so, starting from the the Frankfurt School of Neo-Marxists who went to the United States of America and they started planting the seeds of these ideas that everyone's equal and then people are being oppressed and the oppressed should rise up. And we have that today in America. America's in social turmoil over such issues because the oppressed classes, women, blacks, homosexual, they're rising up against oppression. The most privileged position in America is to be female, homosexual, and black. And probably if you're missing a limb, then you could do even better, but they don't get into that so much. Oh, even better, better than homosexual is transgender. That's really, really prestigious. So everything is upside down, back to front and inside out. But this is taken as the norm. And the norm is that, okay, so the oppressed should rise up. And what will happen then? They'll become a new oppressive class. And then again you make a revolution and it goes, this is Karl Marx's idea, that you have to have continual revolutions. Very demoniac. And it's spoiling our movement. Also, feminism in so many ways. We have affirmative action in our movement also. Although Srila Prabhupada never made any women GBCs, we have to have women GBCs and temple presidents. Srila Prabhupada made one temple president of a woman and her husband, this was 1968, I believe, when her husband and wife were, the husband was the temple president and the temple consisted of the husband and wife only. And then the husband left her to go and chase after some woman somewhere else, devotee woman, mind you. And then Prabhupada wrote a letter to the Mataji devotee left behind, although he hadn't introduced so much at that time saying Mataji. He was very slow with this, seeing how feminized his female disciples in America were. He said, okay, so you'll be the Tamil president. So that was the one case of Srila Prabhupada making. Female temple president. And Srila Prabhupada said so many things which would be considered sexist, just like women are meant for service, for instance. But this is not accepted by certain elements in our movement, including our venerable GBC, who think we have to go along with the flow of the world. When I joined this movement, I thought I was going against the flow of the world. I didn't want to go along with the flow of the world. Before I'd heard anything about Krishna consciousness, one thing I knew was, I don't want to go along with the flow of this world. I don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing, but I don't want to be part of this society. So it's easier to go along with the flow. And feminists are active in our movement. just the opposite to Sati. If she had had an enlightened feminist advisor, when Lord Shiva told her not to do something, she'd have been advised, oh, you don't listen to her. She did that anyway. She didn't listen to her husband anyway. But even the idea that she had to take permission from her husband, why do you have to take permission? Why do you have to tell him even what you're doing? Just do what you like. I just got a letter from a disciple of mine, male disciple, saying that he went yesterday with his wife to sign divorce papers. He said he didn't want to do it, but my wife said, if you don't do it, I'll make a police complaint against you, and I'll make a divorce like that. Just like one of our devotees who we know, he was in Mayapur, his wife wanted a divorce. He wouldn't give it, so she made a charge of murder again, attempted murder, that she had attempted to kill him. So he was put in prison, because that's the Indian law. If the wife simply accuses with no evidence, then immediately the husband is put in prison. And he said, after he was released, that everyone in the prison, the police, everyone, they all knew it was false, because they have so many cases like this. This is called women's empowerment. Really, it's a kind of power. You can make life absolutely hell for your husband, and there's nothing you can do about it, because that's the law. So he was obliged to do it. And where did this come up after 14 years of marriage? Because she had come in contact with some female life coaches within ISKCON who had told her, you shouldn't call your husband Prabhu. You should call him darling. It's an equal relationship. Don't look up to him. It's an equal relationship. And don't be bound to him. You have to fulfill your life's dreams. So now at the age of 40 plus, she's starting on a career as a hairdresser and listening to pop music. And she's got her life's dream. She's independent from her husband. Another victory for feminists. They did it again. They spoiled a perfectly good, peaceful marriage. But in their eyes, that marriage was wrong, because they're envious. They see husband and wife peaceful together, they become very envious. And they want to disturb that. They become very envious if they see that, because they're all independent women, and mostly they get very active when they're older and they're completely frustrated, as a woman will be if she's not married and doesn't have children and not protected. She'll be completely frustrated. So they become very angry, and they just want to destroy every marriage that's going on nicely. Of course, not if a man is married to a man or a woman married to a woman. That they are quite okay with. They won't disturb that. It's demoniac, and it's in our movement. And it's having its success. And this is what is being brought to India by certain elements of our esteemed leadership from the Western countries. They want to bring it to India. They'll come to an Indian temple where the men and women are sitting separately and the women at the back, and they'll say, no, women should be at the front. They talk about cultural sensitivity, but they're not sensitive to the local culture. They really believe that this demoniac Western culture is superior to the Vedic culture that Prabhupada taught us. They insist that women have to give classes, even in front of so many sannyasis. They're doing cultural conquest, but the wrong way. ISKCON was supposed to bring Vedic culture to the Western world, but instead, via the medium of ISKCON, they're bringing the worst elements of demoniac Western culture to India. Sati, that is, that name is equated with feminine dedication to the husband. In the case of the Sati rite, when the husband dies, then the woman, she enters the fire when his body is burned. Now, it's illegal in India to say anything in favor of this, but it was for thousands of years considered a great act of chastity. And among the Rajput women, there was no question of doing anything else. The husband died, they would also die. And there are cases, because you maybe have seen in Rajasthan, they have these walled cities on hills. Because it's been a place of fighting since time immemorial. So the story is there, the husband goes out and he comes back. So the women think, great, he was victorious. And then they got the news. He wasn't victorious. He was defeated and he's coming back. And then they closed the doors. You can't come back. You say that, not my husband. My husband doesn't come back defeated. So he has to go out and fight, going to certain death, because his forces have been decimated. And in the meantime, the women prepare the fire, because he's going to die, they're going to die, all his wives. That was the Rajput culture. We're not saying it should be introduced now, and in fact, in Vaishnavism, or in Gauriya Vaishnavism, I never heard of any case of this sati, of voluntary immolation. It was being misused. If we see the British records, there were cases also of it not being misused, where the women, they preferred to do so. And from the Western point of view, this is something horrible, but if you understand the science of reincarnation and karma, it's understood to be a very chaste attitude. And we see also in the case of Gandhari, in the case of Prithu and Archie, it's described like that. There are several in the Bhagavatam. So Sati, she is the very emblem of female chastity. One of them. There are so many. Sita, of course, is another. Savitri, story of Savitri and Satyavan. There are several exalted. Arundhati, Anasuya, they're all exalted. They're the role models for young girls to grow up with. But they would be hated by feminists today. They are. Feminists within ISKCON also. Oh yeah, we have also Damayanti, another famous story. Instead, the girls grow up seeing the Bollywood or Tollywood or Collywood. What is it in Hyderabad? Tollywood. Basically, they're prostitutes. A woman who flaunts her body for everyone to look at. Professional prostitutes, and this is the role model. So what can we expect of society, because Strishu Dushtashu Varshnaya Jayate Varna Sankraha. Arjuna put the very good argument that unprotected women will become corrupt and will produce bad children. And you get Varna Sankara, and then they have children, and they have children, and they have children. Every generation gets worse and worse and worse. So that what is good is advertised as bad, and what is bad is advertised as good. Adharmam dharmam iti ya manyate tamasavrita. By the influence of tamaguna, what is right is considered wrong, and vice versa. And this is what's going on in the world today. I'm specifically talking about women's roles, or let's be more precise, the role of a jiva in a woman's body. But there are so many instances. Abortion, which was previously considered and is extremely sinful, is now considered right and proper in India. The general Sanskrit term for abortion is bhrun hatya, murder of the embryo, but they changed it to garbhapat, which means a falling of the embryo, which means a miscarriage, but they've used this word now for abortion and made it normalized. Mera Bharat Mahan, Garv se kaho hum Hindu hai. Our India is great. Say it proudly. I'm a Hindu. Well, we can proudly announce that India is, what is it, number two beef exporter. Beef includes buffalo meat, but there's a lot of cow meat also. Lot of cow. How many lakhs of chickens are killed every day in India? It's quite likely as a crore or more, if you consider that so many people. What's the population of India now? It's about 160 crores, something like that. Something like that. 1,600,000,000, something like that. And most of them are chicken eaters, at least half. So, on average, we're going to get maybe 1 crore, 10 million, at least half of that, killed every single day. It's good. Get strong. Swami Vivekananda said, eat meat. It's authorized. Very wrong. So many things are wrong. So these projects which we have, they should actually be the cutting edge of our preaching. Because in the city temples, people go to the temple, and there are so many temples. They go to ISKCON temples, and there are so many, apart from ISKCON temples, there are so many Ram temples, and Vishnu temples, and Sai Baba temples, and Durga temples, and so many temples. So it's another temple. But here is something completely different. We're set up to preach here. Why? Why? The big question. Why? Well, that's right. That's what you should be saying. You should be saying why. Why are you living like this? Why are we here in the first place? Why is a very good question to ask. Science, they want to say what, how, and all the mundane study. What, how, when, why, where. Why, they also ask, why does why do liquids freeze if brought to certain temperatures? But the real why are we here? What are we doing? Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now, when we come to that point, then we really started our human life. Before that, it's ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So what are we doing on these farm communities? We're eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. putting fences is also one form of defense, isn't it? Building houses is also one form of defense, because you're defending against the elements. But there's also that extra inquiry into the Absolute. So why are we living like this? Because we want to perfect our human life. So this is the opportunity for preaching, that we're living like this to make a more favorable situation for cultivating Krishna consciousness, which is the only real necessity of human life. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending, they're not our real necessities. They're temporary necessities. But our real necessity is to know who we are, who is God, what is our relationship with God, how to reawaken that. And we're making an atmosphere favorable for that. Because your society, despite all protestations to the contrary, that you can, well, it's overly hyped, that you can practice Krishna consciousness in the modern world. Sure, you can, but you have to contend with the whole very way of life, which forces you into bad association, forces you to work in some adharmic situation, mostly. You're forced to send your children to a slaughterhouse in the name of an educational institution. So we're set up to preach. We can tell people this. Human life is meant for God realization. This is why we're living like this. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there for now. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhubhya vacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Dante nidaya chunakam padiyo nipatcha kritva chaka kushatam vedada ampani. He sadhava sakala. Hare Krishna.